Dr. Drew, board-certified internist.
Thank you.
And addiction medicine specialist. Ugh, yeah. A little belch there.
More garlic tonight?
No, I just I rushed my meal down tonight.
Oh, nice.
I had a 8 o'clock dinner, and the guy showed up a half hour late. And the food, I don't. How many times have you done this, Drew? Since you've had this gig,
eaten real quickly before I came out here.
Yeah, I mean here's how it works for me. Each and every time, once a month you go out to dinner. And you figure, we'll work it out so you can go out to dinner before you come in here.
Yes, yes.
So you tell the person you'll meet them at the restaurant at 8. And the restaurant's only 15, 20 minutes away from the studio.
Yes.
Inevitably, they show up at 8:15 or 8:20.
Your table's not quite ready yet.
You sit down, and by the time you order at 8:45,
yeah.
And then the food shows up at 9:10.
Yes.
9:15.
And here's the,
you're shuffling down this meal that you're paying for.
And then here's what goes through my mind is, it's really not 15 minutes down the road. It's actually about 23 minutes down.
Right.
So now my 15-minute block, I'm shaving that down to 23 or 24 minutes.
Right.
Thinking, holy Christ, I got to get out of here.
All right. So I just wolfed down a nice, expensive meal and left. But, Harlan Williams is not going to be in tonight. He canceled. He had to do, like, the weakest link or something.
Mm. Unacceptable.
I don't know what it was or what it is, but he canceled. And as you know, Drew, I think we're the only radio show in town that does not hold that against a guest.
No. In fact, we barely notice.
I don't hold that against a guest anymore than when I was in grade school and my teacher wouldn't show up and I had a substitute. Did you ever feel abandoned?
No.
Not,
no.
No, it was good, right?
Yeah.
You have to do less. Johnny?
Yeah.
You're 21?
21.
What's up?
I got problems.
All right, what are they?
I've been seeing this girl, known each other for about 7 months, met her in school. We go out, having some fun, and we start kissing tonight for the first time. One thing leads to another. I'm having fun with her. She's having fun with me. We kind of wrap things up. Next thing she tells me is we talk about people we've been with. She comes out and says, by the way, I've got a VD, and I start freaking out. She tells me she's got herpes.
All right, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about this guy for a second. Yeah. Is he one of those guys for whom, one of those guys that ruins it for all men?
Yeah,
as women. Is that just what I'm reacting to right now?
Well, first I thought maybe it's a bogus call.
I'm reading bogus.
But then I realized there's certain guys where everything that comes out of their mouth sounds bogus.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
it all sounds like BS.
Right, yeah. And maybe it's the way they relate to other guys, and maybe it's because we're men, or I get the feeling they do it with women too, but they sound like used car salesmen.
Exactly.
So yeah. They end up becoming weathermen when they're older.
Let's just say, if it's true, let's not even get back with them. If it's true, you've had contact with somebody that may or may not be contagious. Herpes can be contagious even when they don't have symptoms. And you didn't wear a condom, I presume. Or even if you did, that's a disease you can possibly get through sexual contact. And you'll know in the next few weeks. You'll get a rash. You won't feel good.
Yeah, you will. And then you'll know it for the rest of your life. But how do you know if he's talking about oral or genital herpes?
It kind of doesn't matter. But
doesn't?
It's not like I don't want to talk to him anymore. But go ahead. All right.
I know. There's certain guys that give me the creeps.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Yeah.
What's up there? Yeah, that's the one they do. Now, does she have oral herpes or genital herpes?
I don't know. I'm freaking out here. I'm trying to...
No, bogus.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't know?
Yeah.
I've got herpes, the woman announces after you're done with your sexual conquest. You don't ask which one, upstairs or downstairs?
Didn't he say she was a dancer or something, or a stripper?
No. I think he said it was a friend of hers or his, but...
Whatever
the reason is, he it's either bogus or he'll just have to ride it out.
Either way, he's going to figure it out. He'll find out in time. And when if he gets something, there are medicines that can shorten the
duration. There's nothing he can do right now.
Nothing he can do, period.
And he probably doesn't have it.
That's probably true.
Thank you. Jenna?
Yeah.
24, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Adam, I really like that unibrow you got going.
Thank you.
I love it.
My unibrow?
Yeah.
You know, let me defend my unibrow for a second. Technically, it is two brows. It would be better to be one brow because now it's two huge brows.
Yeah.
That's right.
Instead of one huge brow.
Yeah, you're right. You put two caterpillars side by side, you know, end to end, you still have two caterpillars.
Thank you, Drew. Yeah.
Well, I like it anyway.
Thank you.
Anyways, my question is for you, Dr. Drew.
Yep.
I'm 24, and I have really large breasts. I wear a 32E to double E. Anything past, like, double D is kind of pointless to put a number on.
Yeah, and then to double it up is even weirder.
Right.
Right, Adam?
I'll never understand that with the bra manufacturers. Okay. In what other universe, in what other unit of measurement do we double up one of the numbers? Like, well, that one's a 45, and this one's a 45.5. 45.5. No, you go to 46 if it's bigger. And like in high school.
And then return to the previous digital system.
Right. Like in high school, if you didn't get a C on a test, you did a little better. You got a B on a test. You didn't get a CC, CB. You know, you just one up. Just go to the next thing. Whatever letter's after E. And I don't, you know,
I don't have
a scratch pad in front of me, so I can't figure it out right now. But whatever the next letter is, just go to it.
All right, but what's your question?
All right. I was referred by my family doctor to a surgeon for breast reduction, mm-hmm. but I haven't been to see him yet.
Okay.
And I have a twin sister. She's not my identical twin. And she wears a 32C.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to get, you know, somewhere along that line.
It turns out most women, when they go for, actually, if they're going up or going down, C is usually the desired target, the majority of women.
Okay. And my question is, am I going to have any kind of, like, profound blood clotting that I should worry about, or...
Do you have a blood disorder?
No, I don't have a blood disorder. But when I asked my family doctor, he kind of ho-hummed around a little bit.
Well, what are you asking? Is this a surgery, and are there surgical complications? Of course.
Right, and, you know, is there a lot of scarring?
There is scarring.
And things like that.
There is scarring. There's the risk of anesthesia. It's a surgery. It's a risk of infection, risk of blood loss.
Yeah. So do people get through it usually pretty well?
No, every single one dies.
Well, no.
100% of breast reduction.
No, like 85 to 90% okay. of the patients right. expire
right.
on the table. It's not 100%.
I exaggerate. You're right.
Okay.
I knew someone who lived through
a breast reduction?
She's in a wheelchair okay. now, all but right. she lived, all technically. Right. She okay. needs assistance breathing, but she's living.
Okay, all right.
She paints with her mouth.
Jen, it's a common procedure. We're making light of your concerns, which are realistic, right?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about it. I mean,
it's a real surgery. However, if you are having things like neck pain, back pain, deep bra strap groove, orthopedic problems, it's worth that risk.
Listen, I'd like to get back to these boobs. 32 double E.
Oh, yeah. It's right at the 32.
How tall are you?
I am 5'10". I'm 129 pounds.
Oh,
that is not radio math. That is truth.
5'10".
I feel kind of freakish with these big breasts.
Right. I'm that way with my brows.
And your intellect, Adam, after all.
That's right. I have to carry around this huge intellect. 5'10". 130?
129.
Well, all right. We'll see. You had a big meal tonight. We'll round up to 130, okay?
Okay.
5'10", 130, and a 32 double E. I mean, that's like some like a drawing from that I would have drawn when I was in the fifth grade.
Oh, okay.
Fifth grade.
I would have drawn when I was 28. That's crazy. I mean, what do you look like in a bathing suit?
Well, that's another problem that's very irritating. I mean, I can buy like a size small to medium bottom. And it's almost impossible to find a top that doesn't look like pasties
right.
with strings on it.
Right.
So
wow.
That's kind of
what
fun.
Kind of shape are they in?
I think they're pretty good shape. I mean,
oh my god,
they don't have like the oranges and the pantyhose type of.
Yeah.
You know what
the
I'm
what?
Saying?
No, what's that?
Orange in the pantyhose. The sock.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Saying they're fairly firm.
Yeah, they are firm. And
wow, that's crazy.
So I'm glad of that. At least it's not real bad. But I ride a lot of horses, and it causes some pain.
Yeah,
and,
to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do for a living?
Right now, I work at a library, but I'm a 6-year vet student. I'm getting ready to transfer out to Phoenix for my internship.
Oh, uh-huh. Cool.
Now, do you have a boyfriend?
Not right now, I don't.
And do you worry about guys just chasing you for those big, juicy, beautiful breasts of yours?
Sometimes I do.
Okay. All right.
It's not too much of a problem.
Okay. Hey, listen, if you have the surgery, you got to take a before picture, you know.
Sure.
And send it to Adam.
Yeah, and send it to me.
Hey, we've got some pictures of us, my friends and I, doing the girls on trampolines. We like to do that over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I almost killed myself when I tried it, but we got
some pictures. Understandably.
All right, baby. Good times.
All right. Well, thanks for answering my question.
All right.
All right, Jen. Take
yes,
care.
You talk to a specialist, you'll be fine.
All righty.
All right. All right.
Adam will shed a tear.
Likes to ride horses.
It could be a new man show.
32 double E's, crazy with the breasts.
Yeah.
See, like I was explaining last night, kiddies, a small first number and then up the alphabet a little bit on the second, and you're in real fine shape. No, I'll just give you an example. Worst case scenario is a 42A, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you do the math. Nathan?
Yeah?
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my 13-year-old sister's a slut.
That's funny?
Well, no. The phrase is, but...
Right. What's she doing?
Well, she sleeps in with any guy that will.
She has sex with them?
Yeah.
All right, Nathan, so she's disturbed. She has a problem. Was she sexually abused or anything when she was growing
up? Not that I know of.
Physically abused?
No.
Well, how do you know she's sleeping with everybody?
Well, because everybody just around just talks about it and whatnot. It's like, oh, she's your sister?
Yeah, but guys talk about a lot of stuff.
Well, girls do too, though.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass, though.
Yeah, but people can get a reputation without actually doing the things they're supposed to.
So is she embarrassing you?
To an extent.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not worried about her. You're worried about your own reputation?
Well, yeah. No, I'm mainly worried about her, though, because
listen,
I'm just thinking that's a little young for that kind of thing.
Absolutely, and it suggests there's something very wrong, that she is really unhappy and trying to manage that with these sexual forays.
Where's your dad?
He lives on the other side of the country.
Why'd he leave?
He got kicked out by my mother.
Why?
He was abusive, alcoholic.
Didn't you say there was no abuse?
Well, he abused my mother, but he never abused us.
All right. Well, that's enough. Those kinds of traumas can be sexualized, or typically are sexualized when people hit puberty.
That's a form of abuse when you watch your mom getting the crap beat out of her by some drunken dad.
Of course.
And furthermore, and Nathan, here's the thing. First off, if you could get laid, you'd get laid all the time, too. You just can't do it. So you can't hold... That's true. See, as a guy, we want to act out, so what do we do? Just go home and masturbate feverishly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you with me, Nathan?
Yeah.
It kind of sucks, which is, you know, they both had the same abusive dad.
Right.
And I'm sure they would both love to act out. The problem with Nathan is there's no takers.
Right.
And the other one, with the sister, she can do all the acting out she wants, and everyone's receptive to that because always plenty of guys with boners.
But you know, we were doing a little news interview before we got on the air tonight, and that's one of the things that troubles me so much. Guys have no idea that when women do that they're contributing to something harmful. They just think, hey, it's a horny girl. She likes sex just as much as I do. Isn't that great?
I know, but... You know, you'll watch pornography and not worry about the feelings of the person that's being depicted in the film. You'll... Hold on.
That stuff disturbs me. It really does.
I know, but you still whack off to it every night. Every night.
Not every night.
Every night. Every night. No, you think about this stuff all the time. I mean, you'll cheat on your taxes and not worry about... Not think twice about it. You know, these are semi-victimless crimes, in a sense. I know there's a person here. I know that wasn't the right terminology. But you're horny, you're drunk, you're at a party, and there's a chick coming on to you, and you're worried about her?
I think most guys, if they really understood what that all meant, they'd take a beat, and they might not be as apt to act out with it. They at least wouldn't think to themselves, hey, this chick's just into sex as much as I am. Great. Hey, she's into this.
You got the mind of a 40-year-old doctor.
Yeah.
If you had, and the genitalia of a 75-year-old rabbi. You see?
Yeah.
If you had the mind and genitalia of a 16-year-old guy from Ohio.
You wouldn't care.
No, you wouldn't care. You might the next day. It's not going to stop you from doing it.
All right, but ultimately, might it move things in the right direction for people that are acting out?
It couldn't hurt. I'll give you that. Nathan?
Mm-hmm.
That's the 75-year-old rabbi genitalia speaking right now, right?
Tonight.
Good night.
So, Nathan.
Yeah.
Does she ever listen to this show?
Sometimes. Not a whole lot, though.
Well, she's busy having sex.
Yeah.
Can you talk to her? What have you told her?
She doesn't listen to me.
Yeah, but you, what about talking to your mom about getting her some help?
Well, I suppose I could do that.
Listen, you got to think about this in terms of it being potentially even life-saving for her. I mean, you're really contributing to her health. You're not narking on her. You're not tattling. You're just concerned about her, and you got to tell an adult who can actually do something about this.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
All right, Nathan.
All right, thanks.
Good luck. Take care of yourself.
Hey, Nathan, hang on a sec. Damien.
It's so pathetic.
Why don't we get a number on that one and call him back, see how it's going in a couple weeks.
Oh, look at Drew. As soon as we put a news camera in here, now all of a sudden he cares. Normally, be good riddance. I got to take a leak.
I do have to take a leak. Can we go? Can we finish?
All right, let's see. Liz.
Hi.
You're 21.
Yeah, I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I've been on the pill for about 3 years, and last month, for the first time, I missed my period. Is that something that's normal when you're on the pill for that long?
How long have you been on the pill? I'm sorry.
3 years.
3 years, and you missed a period all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Had you taken the pill properly that preceding month?
Not that I missed a day, but I lost the pills and I had to start a new pack, but I thought I started on the right day and everything.
You probably didn't.
Okay.
And is there any chance you're pregnant?
I had sex during that time,
Did you check a pregnancy test?
Yeah, I took a pregnancy test and it was negative, and that was 3 weeks ago.
All right.
And I'm still nothing.
Feel free to put that part in front of the part where you had sex.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's the world's dumbest callers in the show. We really do.
I think next go-around, you'll have a period.
Okay. Is it normal to miss when you're on the pill, though?
It's not uncommon for there to be bleeding, missing. Things can happen, especially if you've been messing around with the dosing or the type of pill you're taking, sure.
Okay.
All right, baby.
Okay, thank
Take care
you.
Of yourself. Good Take times. Okay. Stay on that pill. You think you may be pregnant? Well, I have had sex during that time period, yes. Oh, you take a pregnancy? Yeah, negative. It's like, are we
talking? Love line caller.
I know, but are we talking? How many people are we talking to? It's the same person, isn't it? Like they go, oh man, oh boy, when's dinner? You hungry? No, Tuesday. It's like, how does the mind work that way?
It's not working.
No one has less education than I do. Nobody.
Here. Yes. I'll vouch for that.
Feral children who are raised in the wild by wolves.
Yeah, far, far greater education. Better language skills, too.
That's right. That's true. All right. Let's just say hi to Christina. Christina?
Hello?
You're 15. What's up?
Yes. There's this guy that I was, like, dating.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, dissing my ex-boyfriend and stuff and saying that his, dick was like bigger than his, but it really is not. His is like, well, like, okay, one night me and my sister, we decided to go over these guys' houses, you know, and we weren't really gonna do anything, you know. I was going out with him, you know, off and on and stuff.
Christina, who's all that carrying on in the background?
My sister.
Just your sister? She sounds like about eight girls.
No, it's probably the TV. And we, like, snuck over there, like, in the middle of the night, and we didn't think anything was going to happen, you know? And I asked him to go get me a drink, and it took him, like, 20 minutes to get me a drink of water, and the kitchen's, like, right by his room.
So it's only about a 15-minute walk to the kitchen, and took him 20?
Probably, yeah.
No, I think there's some dastardly deed being done here that she walked into.
So what happened?
Well, he like, bought me this cup back of water, and it looked kind of milky looking. He goes, it's just a pipe, you know, so I didn't think anything of it. And I like drank the water, you know, and we were laying down, and we were just like watching TV, and then I started like feeling funny and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he was like on top of me, taking my clothes off and everything.
Right.
And before I realized it, we were having sex with like in like 10 minutes of being there, you know.
How old was he?
He's like 17.
So you think he drugged you?
I think he did.
Okay.
I went back to his house, and he don't live there no more.
Oof.
He, like, is gone.
Well, wait a minute. He doesn't live there anymore?
He don't live there no more. And
I mean, no more?
Does his family live there?
No more?
His family don't live there. He was just staying there with his friend. He moved to Godly, I think.
Oh, he's out in Godly now?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, at
Godly. Ironically, Satan's country.
At least he's in Godly's territory.
Yeah.
Well, he's over in Godly. He's doing all right. And where are you out in Beaumont?
Cleveland.
So at least what?
30 minutes?
As the crow flies, it's probably about 20 miles. But if traffic gets going, it's about 30, 35 minutes, right?
Yeah, and my sister, his friend, did something with her, because they both went into the kitchen and got their cups of water and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Hold on a second, Christina.
Uh-huh.
Didn't you say this guy was sort of your boyfriend, or you sort of went out with him?
Well, yeah, but we were kind of going out on and off and stuff.
What do you, yeah?
This isn't making sense.
Had you slept with him before?
Nuh-uh.
Mm-mm. How did you know this guy? Where'd you know him from?
A friend.
I see.
And he seen me one day talking to my friends.
And you were going out with a guy you don't even know?
Oh, I know him.
And he disappears one day?
Well, he said that it was over, and then I went over there to talk to him. And, he was gone.
Oh, okay.
Why am I so bewildered?
Because here's the deal. Christina is swimming. Her mind is swimming.
And mine
so now
is
we're
too.
Treading yeah. water, too. Christina?
Mm-hmm.
Is life confusing for you?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Yeah, because you're not quite sure, who's your friend and who's your boyfriend. And
yeah, see, and there's this other guy that I was going out with. He was, real sweet and everything.
Yeah.
And he'd do anything in the world for me.
Right.
Ask her the pertinent questions.
Okay, listen.
Hey, hold on a
second. Let's get to the real questions.
Yeah.
Where's Daddy, and how can I kill him for what he did?
What'd he do to you?
He didn't do anything to me.
Yeah. Where is he?
He's in bed.
In bed where? In prison?
No, with my mom.
Yeah? What's he do? What's he do, drive a truck?
Yeah, he's a truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
He yells at me sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
What happens to the part of life where people go,
how'd you know that?
How'd you know that?
How about Godly being 35 minutes away? She didn't come back to that either. So,
what do you do? Make the haul from Godly out to
Beaumont?
No, she's
Cleveland.
Not in Beaumont. She's in Cleveland.
I have no idea.
All right, Christina. So your dad's abusive? Yes.
No. Well, sometimes he's mean to me and stuff.
And does he ever hit you?
Sometimes. Okay. I do stuff wrong, and I one day I ran away.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Kids only run away when parents are abusing them. That's when they run away.
I told my parents, I said, I want to get away from here. I wanted to go to boot camp. I'd rather stay there than be here.
Well, we understand that, but you're creating your own boot camp life here with these bizarre tales of these guys you don't know who are abusing you just the way your dad has abused you.
Well, so do you feel like you were raped?
Oh, I feel like that by that one guy with this other guy that I went out with.
I can't handle it, too.
Was there another?
Christina,
let me explain to you. Do you listen to this show?
All the time.
Good. And you learn things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you're off to a start that we're not too happy about.
Yeah.
And we don't blame you.
And you understand why, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your dad's a jackass, okay? And, yes, you know I'm right.
Yeah, he's getting rid of my horse.
He's getting rid of your horse.
Yeah, man, I like that horse. I finally got one.
Well, now, hold on, though. It's not the same. Like, Drew,
yeah.
Your kid wants a horse, but Christina was using it for transportation.
I see.
It's really like selling your car where she's from, right?
Yeah, he sold my car.
All right, now you got to ride the mule. What is it? Christina, you got a horse?
I had one.
In Texas.
Okay. All right. Look. These guys, watch out. Be careful for guys. This is not Daddy.
Yeah.
You cannot fix what you had with Daddy with some new drunken guy.
That's right. You were beaten by your dad because he's abusive, not because you did something wrong. Thinking you did something wrong and deserved that or caused that is just a way of staying in control and not feeling powerless in the face of this abusive a-hole and not unleashing the real tremendous rage you must have towards him.
God, I don't want to kill him.
Well,
okay, but look. Don't here. You want to know how you pay your parents back? Hello,
what's he doing? Hang on.
Look, here's how you pay your parents back.
Have a happy life.
You do well in high school. You score high on your SATs, and you go far away to college, and then you make a bunch of money, and you're happy, and then you ignore them. Or you see them once twice a year like I do. You get loaded on red wine and tell them how rich you are. Now, that's what you do. That's how you repay your
parents. There's an intermediate step here, which is the fact that you were raped, and you should report that, and you should to get treatment for that.
Right. Absolutely.
And in the course of that treatment for the rape, Adam, I'm sure the rest of this will come out.
All right. And look, don't get pregnant. Please don't get pregnant. All right.
We'll and if you do, or if you have an unprotected...
that's it. I can't, remember I can't the morning travel after 25 pill. Years right. down the road right. with her. We'll take a little break. We'll be back.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
182, and you are listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Loveline. I have a really big dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And we'll hop back on the phones and speak to Alan, who's 28. Alan?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I got a question for Dr. Drew, but first of all, you guys do a great service, and Adam, you're funny as hell.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, are you going to Lycus's birthday party tomorrow?
No, I'm not. I wasn't invited, but furthermore, I'm actually driving out of town tomorrow morning, going to Yosemite for a wedding.
Well, I didn't know if you guys hung out. You were all breast men, so I just...
I think Lycus talks a good breast story, but I'm the real McCoy here. I really do enjoy that.
No argument there. But anyways, this is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Why is it that, Adam, I haven't been shirking on my jerking, but why is it that masturbation ejaculations are so inferior to, you know, the real thing when you're with a woman?
Alan, how old are you?
28.
Adam, why does he sound 14?
I don't know. Maybe emotionally he's 14. He's talking about masturbating, and he's talking about shirking with his jerking. Hey, Alan?
Yeah.
That's life. That's in order to give you incentive to get off the goddamn sofa and leave the house every once
in
a while.
Right.
If masturbation was just as good as being with a woman...
You wouldn't be with a woman.
You'd never leave the house.
Right.
Dude, you beat off?
Do you understand?
Well,
that's God. God's incentive.
It's nature. It's God. It's how it was meant to be.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What's up there, Alan? How are you doing in your life?
Well, not as good as I'd like to.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a construction worker.
Uh-oh.
Really? What kind of construction?
What's that?
What type?
Apartment buildings.
Mm. You're doing labor?
Yeah, cheap labor.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're like a fix it guy.
No, he's a goomper.
Yeah, I'm a gopher.
He's cleaning up. Hmm. It's funny, you know, Alan. Boy, and this is going to sound bad, but at 28, you're not supposed to be, humping drywall scraps. And
even though that's what
garbage.
You were doing at 28.
How dare you?
Oh, I guess by then you'd
No. Listen, I knew that Alan wasn't even swinging a hammer. He's picking up garbage, you understand?
And I'm making runs to McDonald's.
Right. He's on the construction site. He's not even doing the construction. Do you understand that concept, Drew?
Yeah, I'm wondering why not.
What's up? He just got into it, that's why.
But were you disabled for some reason for a while? Or?
No, I lost my telemarketer job.
Oh, really? Boy, with that voice? It's a wonder you lost. You figure they double your pay and keep you.
No.
Okay, so...
Well, I was just wondering if there was a mental reason that it wasn't as good.
Yes, there's one mental reason is that it's a hardly as complete an experience.
Oh, so you're thinking because your mind knows you're not as stimulated.
Yes, there's no chick there. Do you understand? Look, why is sailing so much better than watching a program on sailing on PBS?
Even the IMAX isn't quite as good as actually climbing into a boat.
That's right. You're actually out on the open sea.
You. Okay.
And it
smells
the same.
Sorry, I asked a stupid question.
Now, that's all right, Alan. Are you drunk?
No, I'm stoned.
Okay. All right. Well, that explains
a lot.
Now, listen, Alan.
Yeah.
Here's my plan for you, buddy.
Okay.
I want you to work your way up from Goomper to glorified Goomper.
He's there already.
You're already a glorified Goomper. I want you each paycheck, I want you to buy a tool, okay? I want you to get, you guys doing framing?
Yeah.
Are they framing these apartments?
Mm-hmm.
Use those worm drive skill saws.
I've seen the other guys use them.
Yeah, 7 1/4-inch blade. I want you to buy one.
At Sears?
Yeah, and I want you to get your tool bags. I want you to buy some tool bags. All right? And I want you to start learning stuff around there.
Oh, okay.
And before you know it, you'll be an apprentice, and you'll be doing some framing, okay?
That would be a triumph. That would be good.
All right, buddy?
Okay.
All right, good times.
Thanks.
All right.
Good times.
There you go. You know what's amazing about doing this radio show?
No, Adam, what?
Even though, and you look at working on a construction site as a pretty lowly job, right? I mean, nothing,
no, I'm actually sort of in awe of it.
Nothing much to it. Well, what I mean is...
I don't know that.
No, these are the dregs of society.
If you said, you've always taught me that.
Yes, these are blue-collar guys you would not want dating. These are guys, the guys who are on the construction site, things didn't work out for them.
Okay.
Now, I'm not talking about architect or union steel guy on some big casino.
Right.
I'm talking about doing framing an apartment building.
Okay.
Right? Even then, I could hear the difference between the guy who was swinging the hammer and the guy who was going on the Mickey D's run.
Yeah.
You know what's always nice about going on that lunch run? Mm. I used to do that. You write the lunch order, scrap of plywood. It's not like there's a notepad hanging around there. It's not like people have a pen and a notepad.
Wow.
Never think about that.
Wow.
The thing about construction is, or carpentry, no phone, no paper, no pencil, no chairs. You end up writing it with a keel, which is basically a construction crayon on a 2x4 or a scrap of plywood. And then you always get it wrong.
It's like a paddle.
Yeah. Kevin? I mean, Ken?
Yeah, what's up, man?
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
Let me give you a brief profile before I give you my question. I was with this girl for like 6-7 years when I was 16, and we had a kid together. Pretty much, I went to prison at a young age.
Why?
Because I stole some starter coats. It was kind of around that time when that was kind of the end thing, and they made a big example out of me.
Starter coats?
I went to adult prison.
Hold on a second, one sec.
Starter coats?
Yeah, starter coats like NBA, like NFL.
I see. Right.
Hey, Ken, thank you for being very clear and direct.
Yes. How many did you steal?
About 3 of them.
3 of them.
Yeah, and but that's not the...
Hold right, on like, a second. No, wait a minute.
It interests us.
You did time for stealing some windbreakers?
Yeah.
But apparently
they tried to set an example. I used a small town.
It was a public execution, see?
Pretty much. Anyway.
All right. You had no previous...
I had to have a couple priors in there.
No, actually I did. Maybe a vandalism as a, you know, as a teenager.
Everyone has vandalism, of course.
Yeah, you had priors.
Spray paint, yeah. Anyway,
I would fire my attorney, by the way, if I stole 3 windbreakers and I'm doing time.
Well, I couldn't afford a good one, so it was court appointed.
Okay.
They get paid regardless.
So how much time did you do?
I did about 2 years.
What?
Yeah.
Stealing windbreakers. I'm convinced with
okay,
no...
I used a weapon, but, you know...
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, so...
Oh, I'm not still, but come on.
Well, I didn't cause any bodily harm. Just I used a weapon, and it went from a simple burglary to an assault, aggravated robbery.
There we go.
Okay, so...
Now it's all...
Well, I could have robbed a bank and got the same amount of charge. I don't think...
No, you would have done more time for a bank.
Exactly. Well, so that kind of messed up our relationship. Anyway,
right.
It went downhill. I started getting, like, this collection of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had this thought that, you know, you don't go out and cheat because you don't want that to happen to you.
Right.
So I used that as my escape sexually because it wasn't really anything going on between me and my ex.
All right.
Well, I got with this new girl, man. She's hot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a bouncer at a club. She was a stripper there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just good times. I've been with her for about 1 year and 3 months, but I haven't able to shake this pornography kick. We have great
all right.
sex.
So right. what, you know, one way of thinking about that kind of sexual compulsion is that you need to use arousal to avoid some sort of trauma. That early on you were traumatized, you were either beaten or sexually abused or something. It was super...
No.
Wait, listen.
Yeah.
And then as a kid, kids will use things like headbanging and compulsing and stealing and truancy.
Headbanging?
Yeah. Things
what do you
to,
mean
just
headbanging?
Things they will do stuff just to arouse to get away from the feelings.
Okay, but...
And then when they get puberty, pow, the arousal goes to sex.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I don't think Ken necessarily had to suffer any overt abuse. Uh-oh, Drew's going for his wallet, Ken. I'll gamble with you. Hang on. Hang on there, Ken. I'm saying it didn't have to be sexual or physical abuse. What I'm saying is he could be a guy who has some serious trouble with intimacy, and he's using the pornography as a way to keep
avoid it.
A barrier of intimacy between him and his girlfriend.
Except he talks about how involved they are, how hot it is, how great it is. Now, you're right, it may not be intimate. It may not be. And there's a stripper who may also already have intimacy problems. You may not even have to worry about that because she's not capable of intimacy.
Right.
But this is to me, it's a pretty clear situation of compulsive need to arouse, to avoid affect, to avoid feelings.
Okay, so you want to gamble?
Let's get it going.
He was physically
abused, yeah. He's
not going to admit anything. Then you're going to ask if his dad ever swatted him, and then you're going to claim victory.
Dad will have whooped him, yes.
Ken?
Yeah. Well, first of all, see, my life's totally wrecked, man. I got a problem with marijuana, too, and I don't know who my dad is, to be honest. My mom, I guess it was a traumatizing time in her life, so she won't even tell me the man's first name.
Really? First name? What, you said the guy's name was Joe? That like you'd be able to track him down?
I don't know. My mom doesn't bring it up.
Okay.
I'm 24 and still don't know my old man. That's
okay. Were you ever abused?
Not that I know of. I think, man, see, I kind of feel maybe I was sexually abused when I was younger. Maybe fondled. I don't know. But it wasn't by my mother or anything.
All right. But somebody got to you.
It was vague. Right. It was as I was young. So, you know, it could be, I'm not going to say people have dreams like that.
Right. No. Ken, they don't.
I would like to comment on, because I don't know the details of if it ever happened.
Well, the behaviors you're manifesting now suggest that it happened.
Well, let's not freak the guy out.
Why? No, it's helping him understand.
A stripper and like some pornography myself. How dare you?
Okay. Oh, I see. Here's what this is, Ken. Is that Adam is a compulsive pornography fiend and a masturbator.
Fiend.
And therefore,
to
discuss trauma in relation to that is completely impossible.
With
and
the
completely
Fox News camera in here, how dare you bring up intimate details of my hobbies?
You got any gin and Jameson?
Yeah, I do. Why? You
want
to try?
I got to buy it. Four or five of them. Anyway.
Look, Ken, let me say this. You got off to a bad start in life. You got into a little trouble. You paid your debt to society. Mm-hmm. You're trying to straighten yourself out. It's a job. I mean, it's work for you. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to work on getting off the weed. You're going to have to work on getting off the porn.
And most people don't stop this kind of thing because it's not having a clear effect on you until there is some stress, some decompensation. Maybe it might be a better way to deal with this by actually focusing on the pot and going to MA and doing a 12-step process through that. And then this issue will come out in the process of that treatment.
Okay. Do not get your stripper girlfriend pregnant
please,
in the meantime.
Please
do not do that.
Wait, hey, look, mama.
Let me just say hi to Mike. Mike's gay. We haven't talked to any gay guys tonight.
All right.
Mike?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
You're gay?
Yeah.
You're gay.
True, please. He admitted it.
And that's cool.
Who are you in love with?
I'm not in love. No, my friend, like my best friend, like I think she has like the biggest crush on me.
Oh, this is interesting. We never get it from the gay male's point of view.
I don't know what to do because I don't want to be like, hey, I don't like you. Like.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, so you're saying that your female best friend is into you?
Yeah.
She wants to convert him.
Okay. And she knows you're gay.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get any cooties from her because she's a chick, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Hold on. Is she cute?
No.
All right. But if she was, it wouldn't make a difference.
No, it wouldn't.
Okay. Hold on. Well, that's gay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll talk to Gay Mike.
Love Mike. Back in a minute.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. Just heard my favorite public service announcement, the airplane turbulence one.
Yeah, childbirth.
Childbirth. Yeah. Now, here's the thing about this airplane turbulence thing.
Commercial. It's a public service announcement. Nobody else is hearing it except us.
Right. It warns you to do things. You know, they tell you not to drink and drive and not to fall asleep behind the wheel and that kind of stuff. But this particular one warns you about airplane turbulence, and I'm sure that's a problem that's touched many of us. I mean, we all know someone who's died in airplane turbulence. I lost my family in a rough ride from L.A. to Denver. But they give you examples like football, rollerblading, and childbirth as things your bodies were meant to take. So here's the question I have for the people who drafted that up. How many women die in airplane turbulence?
As compared
to childbirth each year. What do you think, Drew? Would you say more?
It's a number that would approach infinity or zero, depending how you set it up.
How many people died nationally last year in airplane turbulence-related injuries? Do you think people died? Did anybody die? Has anyone ever heard a story of that? No. But thousands of women die giving birth every year. Wouldn't you say, Drew?
Yeah.
And in football, they use football as an example of one of the things your body's meant to do.
Let's send this over to the Minnesota Vikings, see what they,
that's right.
See what they think about it.
Guy died 2 days ago playing football. That's right, and rollerblading.
Unexpected turbulence. Happily, though, planes are built to withstand that really well.
Right.
All you have to do is wear your safety belt the entire flight.
Your what? Your what?
Your safety belt.
What's that?
I don't know. I've not heard of that.
Huh?
I hope they demonstrate it when you climb into an aircraft.
I think they're doing that now.
No.
I think there's, you know the woman who gives you the food?
Huh?
The stewardess, that they call
it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She says something about putting on your safety belt, I think, toward the beginning of the flight. And sometimes the pilot will mention it, maybe 40 or 50 times in a 10-minute flight.
And flash a light.
And yell at you if your belt is not buckled.
Over your blanket while you try to sleep.
Over your blanket when you try to sleep. There you go. But it's important to keep those PSAs rolling. Mike?
Yeah.
Gay Mike?
Yeah.
18?
Yeah.
You're gay.
Yeah.
And you have...
He's gay and like, delighted about it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you're the kind of gay I like.
Okay.
Not that angry militant lost my sense of humor gay.
No, not at all.
But that young, carefree gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gay and gay.
I'm gay and gay as come.
No, but I mean, you got the traditional meaning of the word gay, like from the 40s musicals.
Oh, probably. I don't even know what you're talking
about. Yeah, happy and gay. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so your best friend likes you. She's a she.
Yeah, it's a girl.
What, do you talk to her about this openly?
No, because I don't know what to say.
What does she say to you exactly? I love you. I want to, you know, what?
No, like, it's not direct. It's like, okay, like, she'll be like, oh, like, you do that. Like, have you ever heard of, like, if you mess with your hair, you like that person when you're messing with your hair in front of them? And she'll, like, start playing with her hair.
All right.
And she'll be like, oh, if you do this with your hand, like, gestures, that means you like this person, you're attracted
all
to them.
Right. So, maybe she has a scalp condition.
And then, like, we're right there, and she's, like, doing all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, you just told me this. Why are you doing it now?
All right, so she's got a crush on you. But
and then, like, whenever we go shopping or something, like, well, we'll go to the store, and I'll be like, hey, buy me this. She'll be like, all right.
First of all, how old is she, 16, 18?
No, she's 18 like me.
An 18-year-old girl that could get a male to go shopping with her. No wonder she falls in love.
What happened?
Right?
Right.
I mean, and by the way, we're talking about a gay male. Who wouldn't? I mean, an 18-year-old female would like a gay male, of course.
All right.
They're far superior.
Yeah.
Right?
You have powers more than a mortal man does.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
She'll be all right, but do set boundaries with her, and then you don't have to make her feel bad about her feelings. But
yeah, I just want to like know how to like tell her like. Not
well,
mean.
Just say that is great, but you're missing something. You know, make jokes about it. You've got a good sense of humor.
Just talk about like when you see a guy, and just like go, oh man, would I love to blow him?
Oh, I do, but then like. Really? She likes to talk crap about my boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
She's, like, dissing my man, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
How old is your man?
He's 19.
Okay. Well, look, don't hang around with her if she disses your man. I don't care. Mike doesn't have a real problem.
Yeah,
you know,
does.
Mike is saying, chicks and dudes dig me. You know what that call was? I'm gay, and chicks still dig me. I could potentially get more ass than your heterosexual ass could ever get.
At 18 especially.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a good angle. I'm going to tell that to my kid. Look, if you're 17 and you ain't getting any yet, it's time to start spreading the news you're gay. Rachel?
Yes?
I bet you get some curiosity sex.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you have a good excuse as to why you're not getting laid. What's up, Rachel? 30?
30.
Yeah.
Newly single.
Right.
I'm not newly single. I was married for 5 years and was ready to be out after 2.
That's great.
But I was never sexually satisfied during that time.
Uh-huh.
So I did a lot of manual masturbation.
Fine.
And it wasn't until about 6 months ago
that when I masturbated, I would get, when I had an orgasm, I would get these pains shooting up inside of me.
Hold on a second. Sometimes I think we can squeeze another call in before we're going
to
break.
And then you come to your senses.
I was married for 5 years. Should have only been married for 2. And then... I just stare at the clock, go, oh, screw it. We'll talk to her when we get back. Shooting pains with the masturbation. We'll be back.
Loveline. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Love Line, fast growing outlaw radio, North America. What? That was good. I mean, I was taken by surprise. I was taken by surprise a little there, but I think I still pulled it off, right, Anderson? I think you're reacting to the fact that I wasn't prepared. But I think for the people, you know, the listeners at home, it sounded pretty good. All right?
People. All right, here
the
we go.
People.
Let's get right to it. Speaking of the people, let's get to those.
Let me tell you, too. We may work for, who do we work for?
Viacom, CBS.
Viacom, Infinity? Yeah. Is that where we work? But let me tell you who employs me. The people.
Ah.
The people listen to this show.
You've always been a man of the people.
Those are my bosses.
Yes, and that's the cash register.
That's right. Because they make it possible. You understand?
Mm.
It's you. You stoners sitting home. You kids who hate your parents. You kids that are going nowhere who call this show night after night. Who worship me like the God I think I am. You are my boss. You are what makes it possible for me to come here night after night and yell at you. Thank you. All right. Rachel?
Yes?
So?
30.
So you get shooting pains when you masturbate?
Yes.
Are you putting something inside of yourself?
Nope.
Do you have pains when you...
I just use my fingers and my clit.
If you have sex, do you get pain?
No, not at all.
Do you orgasm when you have sex?
Yes, only when I'm on top.
Mm-hmm.
But then no
and
pain.
I get that same type of feeling before I would. When I masturbate manually, I know when I get a feeling that it's going to hurt.
And what is that feeling?
It starts to get hot and a little bit numb. Not anywhere near myself, but I feel it on the inside.
All right, so it might be like a spasm of what's called the pubococcygeus muscle. There's a muscle in there can spasm and feel uncomfortable, give you kind of a visceral pain.
And then when I have that same feeling when I'm having sex, instead of getting the pain, I'll have this overwhelming urge to cry.
Mm-mm. What's up, baby? Anything up with you?
I'm going through a divorce, but I never had sex with him hardly.
I know. You're sure angry at this guy.
Yeah.
You hate this guy, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
You have any kids?
No.
Ooh. Oh, good.
Yes.
What's happened? Something wrong with your tubes or something?
No. I've actually been tested probably since I was 17.
Uh-huh.
To find out if I can even have kids, and they never find anything. They say I'm perfectly
Why
normal.
At 17 are we being tested for fertility?
I was... sexually attacked.
Ooh, shocking.
There you go.
That's
what happened?
We were going with this.
What happened to you?
It was pretty brutalized, and I ended up having to have an abortion.
Mm.
And they had told me that time that there may be some permanent damage.
And this was your first sexual victimization?
Yes.
Mm. Who did this? Yes? Who did this to you?
Somebody I was dating, but he was... into a lot of drugs and had a party at his house one night and decided it would be fun if I was the entertainment for the evening.
And no one in your life ever victimized you prior to that?
Several people.
Yeah. All right, baby. Those are the key issues, yeah, not the orgasm.
That's one of the causes of pelvic pain and crying with intercourse, that kind of thing.
All right, Rachel.
Okay.
You ever got any therapy?
A few times.
not very much, though, right?
No, it never seemed they understood. They couldn't understand why I had these things, why I felt these things.
What
things? They said a lot of my stuff had to do with anger, and anger towards my mother.
Yeah,
I never believed that.
Well, you're angry at somebody,
Well, you should be. So
you should be, right.
Yeah, why don't you hang in there with people that know what they're doing and let them help you through some of this stuff?
Well, when I do start talking to them, they end up wanting to talk to my family members. They don't want, they're like, oh, you're fine, but we need to bring this person in.
All right, well, you're not fine.
No, we're here to tell you.
Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, you may have heard them saying you're fine, but that's not what they were saying. I guarantee you. So get back in there and just stay in and follow direction.
And forget about your family members and tell them to forget about it, too.
Well, just follow direction. If they tell you you're done, we want you to terminate treatment, then you leave treatment.
All right. So, Rachel, you've been through a lot.
Yeah.
Now, talk to somebody, work out a few of these problems, and enjoy your orgasms, okay?
Okay.
All right, baby.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's like, look, I don't want to sound melodramatic, but Rachel sounded like she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Did she sound like she was sort of dead from the inside out?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like somebody who'd been killed a long time ago by God knows what with her family, and then victimized one more time with the boyfriend and the drugs and the pass around the party.
There you go.
And now you basically have a zombie that is going through life, wondering why. She's angry, wondering why the relationships aren't working out. And unfortunately, it's now incumbent upon Rachel to take care of herself. She's 30. She's a big girl. You gotta do it, but you gotta know it first. And I don't know how you know it when you're sort of dead from the inside out. Bruce?
Yes?
You're 35?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Oh, well, I got a lump. I thought it was on my testicle, but it—I guess it's on my vas deferens. I had it. I first noticed it. It was smaller, about I don't know, late 1999, and I just kind of ignored it, hoping it'd go away. And then recently, here I was in—I had it checked out by a jail doctor, who said it was a spermacell,
spermatocele.
A spermatocele.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you doing time, or you just go to the jail to get your work done?
Get your testes checked.
I was doing time, and then I got out, and then I got re-indicted for something that happened before that, you know.
Oh. You know, it's funny about the guy who called, who did, it's prison night, by the way.
Yeah, I heard that.
The guy called earlier. He was angry. He was like, what'd you get thrown in jail? Stealing a jacket.
Yeah.
Really? 2 years.
Yeah.
Really?
Can you believe that?
Stealing a jacket. And then it turns out, have any priors? No. Oh, vandalism. And as it turned out, it was assault. I mean, the guy was an armed robbery, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, not essentially.
Yeah, it was an armed robbery.
Yeah, because I did 2 years, and then I just got out. And then
you stole some sweatpants?
No, it was socks. Possession of cocaine.
I have sympathy for.
And then I get out of prison, and then they indict me for possession of 15 kilos from 1996. So,
How dare they?
Yeah, right?
How dare they?
So, I know, 5 years.
15 kilos. Come on, 15 kilos. Why would they be concerned with that?
Well, they have 5 years to get you. So they let me out. I'm on electronic home monitoring right now. And I pled guilty to 3.5, and I'm awaiting sentencing.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, now, you were dealing, you weren't doing it, or doing both?
I was snorting it, smoking it, eating it, shooting it, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, I was doing it all.
You're in recovery now?
No, I'm just done with that crap. I was done with that in 2000.
Yeah, but you must be drinking or smoking pot.
Nope, I don't smoke pot. Don't drink.
Really?
All I do, I smoke Camel Lights and I drink Coca Cola.
Well, maybe
I've been sober for 3 years.
Wow,
I'm hearing
is rare.
But listen, do you hear in Bruce's voice? You don't hear the addiction.
No, I don't. But that's what I'm used to hearing in recovery people. Is it religion? Well, did you involve?
You know, I've been listening to your guys' show. You know, when I got turned on to your show when I was in prison, and I listened to every night.
Like most people are.
Hold on, we got to get some of those inmates Arbitron books.
Yeah, you know, because
get our ratings up.
You know, I mean, Dr. Pinsky, you're brilliant, and Adam, you know, you're funny as hell, and I love the man show. But,
thanks, Bruce.
And, you know, I've learned a lot. You know, a lot of my friends are in recovery, and I mean, you guys are on it all the time, you know. And
well, there's something called natural recovery that people talk about once in a while, where people spontaneously stop using, but I so rarely see that.
Well, what's funny is that, see, my brothers and sisters are the same way. They've all been more addicted than I was, and they all just stopped.
I wonder if there's a certain genetic variant here of some type.
I don't know. You know, I mean, because everyone's worried about, you know, backsliding, and that's not even a concern. I mean, I just... I don't know. I didn't even get involved in drugs until later in life.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I see.
I was an overachiever. Yeah. You know, built up. You know, was a straight A student, a straight A college student. Had my own advertising business.
Wow.
Got involved in cocaine. Sold my company. Then started doing cocaine. I started selling cocaine, and then I said 10 more thousand, 20 more thousand, and then I, 10 years later, I end up in prison.
Right.
You know, and when I got out of prison in April of 2000, I thought I was done. I was done, but then they charged me for stuff from 5 years ago, which it's just
how many kilos in a pound?
There's 2.2 pounds in a kilo.
Oh, 2.2 pounds in a kilo.
Right.
All right. How many millimeters in an inch?
What is it?
It's 25.6.
25. Yeah.
All right, just checking. See, the metric system, they say it wouldn't catch on with all the drug addicts in this country. It really has forced people to learn the metric system.
Yeah, that's funny, because people that seem to know their math are coke dealers and marijuana dealers.
Yeah.
All
right, so, Bruce, do you know how much is in a lid? We've always tried to figure out what a lid is.
I was just listening to that. A lid is 21 grams.
Oh, it is.
It's a lid is 3/4 of an ounce, which is 21 grams.
Why? See, Bruce, he's a genius. I'd like to travel through Europe with you.
I've been through Europe. I go to Spain and Italy all the time.
Yeah, it'd be like, 22 degrees Celsius. How hot is everybody? 84 degrees. All right, so wait a minute. Wait a minute. 3/4 of an ounce is a lid?
21 grams, right.
How is 3/4 of an ounce a lid?
Where did that come from? That?
I don't know. I just remember that
As a young marijuana user.
I'm old school, so I just remember that from...
So a lid is 3/4 of an ounce, and it's funny, everyone... Okay, all right, so you buy like a half ounce of weed now, 3/4.
Well,
all right.
Lids went out in the 70s.
Yeah, I'm hip. Everything I talk about on the show went out in the 70s.
Yeah.
Early 70s, thank you. Okay, so Bruce, what the hell's this question?
Well, the question is that I was in jail, and I guess in jail I have more opportunity to feel my balls.
Sure.
So anyway, I was feeling around down there, and I noticed the lump was bigger. Now, the lump doesn't hurt, and I was concerned it was on my testicle, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's in the vas deferens or some other seminal line.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's not painful. When I squeeze it, it's hard. It's not spongy.
Have you had an ultrasound?
No, I haven't.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
Just to make sure, but it could be a varicocele, spermatocele, cystocele. These things are real common. They can maybe affect fertility a little bit, but other than that, they're nothing to worry about.
Yeah. I like Bruce.
Yeah.
Smart guy. I
would like to put him under the microscope, though, and look at this whole natural recovery thing he's into.
Well,
I think he's got to be linked to something. Okay, sex or pornography or something.
Really?
Yeah, got to be.
I would argue that he doesn't have the addictive gene.
Right, so maybe he wasn't really an addict in the first place.
Because he didn't get into it until later. And the thing about coke is anyone can enjoy coke.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's not the kind of thing. I think there's certain drugs, and maybe heroin, maybe even booze for a lot of people, which is, it don't taste good. It's not pleasant. Coke. There's not a person on this planet that couldn't use a little bump before they left the house on the way to work and would have a problem with it. Right. I mean, we'd all feel better. We really would.
Right.
It's really like saying you want a quick BJ before you head to work.
No. No.
I'm saying it's yummy at Coke.
Yeah.
Is.
Okay.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about, buddy.
Yeah.
David?
Yes.
You're 29?
I am.
What's up?
Is it suddenly like a furnace in here?
It's warm, but it's not a furnace. I'll start sweating when it's a furnace. Go ahead, David.
My girlfriend had a hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Around 5 months ago. After the hysterectomy, we did the 8 weeks. The doctor said 8 weeks without sex.
Mm-hmm.
She goes back into the doctor. Doctor says that she's cleared. She can start doing her daily activities again without any repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
We have sex. Pops that thing open, and her intestines came through.
Oh my God, how awful.
And
he almost couldn't finish. He was close to not coming.
I didn't finish.
Oh.
Does she have pain with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Are you telling me that her intestines came through?
Fell out of her vagina.
Absolutely, yeah.
And true, how does that work? Will that work? Is that right? That could work. Oh, my God.
It's not quite fitting for me in terms of the anatomy, but go ahead.
Now, wait a minute. Weren't wouldn't you, wasn't your penis then making contact with the intestines for a while before they came out?
No. From what I understand, I'm no gynecologist, but there's some sort of a barrier of skin that keeps all the intestines up inside.
So it didn't actually come out of the vagina?
No, it came through into the vagina. It didn't hang out of, no.
Right. Okay.
So she goes back in for emergency surgery to have this repaired.
Right.
We go through the 8 weeks again, and the doctor clears her. We have sex. It opens again.
Mm. Well, you're an animal.
And
how long period of sex were you having before this opened? Very, very quickly?
Yeah, I did. It happened rather quickly, actually.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got a lemon. You got to turn her in. So I mean, I don't know what to do.
What's the question?
Well, she just went in for surgery about a week ago, and she and I are both very concerned about having sex. The doctor said she will never be able to have deep penetration again, ever,
mm-hmm.
Because what is up inside of there is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, and, yeah.
So now, where does somebody go from there, is what I'm asking.
Whorehouse?
No.
I see.
No.
No, listen, so David, let me see. How's your penis? Is it long?
I'm an average Joe.
Guy. And
yeah.
and are you a vigorous guy?
Occasionally.
Well, that's the problem is he takes 2 months off and then he gets back there and works the crap mm-hmm. out of it. And then pow, there goes the stitches. This is a opportunity for him to use
donut
my
grommet,
my love grommet.
Yeah, you could have a supersized one too.
A grommet.
Yeah, I'm dead serious about this, David.
Now what is this?
Well. This is something I came up with some years ago, but I really stand by this. Picture a piece of foam rubber.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Not the super spongy foam rubber, but not the styrofoam type either. Kind of sort of in
firm.
Between.
Yeah.
Firm foam rubber. All right?
Okay.
Let's say you you know what a batting donut looks like?
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, you know that. Your hip goes on the end of a bat there. You set that down and you trace around it. You got the outer circle and you got the inner circle. You cut it out and you put it around your penis.
Okay.
And you slide it up against your pubic bone there.
Oh.
Now you have a depth marker. It's like a governor for your penis. You can only go so deep now because you whack into the donut.
Okay.
And you get a little spring back action on your way out.
That helps for leverage, I guess.
Yeah, I know this sounds like a nutty plan, but for David,
it might be really important.
It might be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I thought of something like that.
Why don't you try that?
Well, it's obviously going to be several months before we do anything like
that. Well, that'll give you time in the shop to perfect it.
Is there any sort of different positions that as deep?
Yes, there are, but I think you're going to have to, I think there's something like the grommet's necessary here. One little slip, you rip her open again. You can't afford to slip.
Well, listen, I would say doggy's out.
Doggy's out. On top.
Wheelbarrow?
Everything's out except sort of what she can do.
Top would be good because she could set the depth.
But even that's going to be awkward and not right. And
I'm telling you, I would do the love grommet. I would use 3/4 inch material, and I would start by doubling them up the first time so I had an inch and a half.
Right.
John, for me, my penis would look like the Michelin Man.
Yeah, you'd be done.
You wouldn't see anything. But
yeah, little happy face sticking out the top. But.
But you double it up, and if that goes well, you peel one off. You go back to 3/4.
Right,
and you cut it so it's a little bit snug. So you have to kind of pull it around. It actually could work to help keep
some more stimulation.
Keep a little blood in there.
Yeah.
Right, like a C
mm-hmm.
ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, if you only had that store, C-rings and lava lamps.
Yep.
You could have the specialty C-rings, the therapeutic C-rings.
This would work. And you know what? I know if they sold this thing, I know if they sold this thing at a hospital or medical supply place, it'd be $1,400. Right? Eric?
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, you're 16. What's up?
Yeah, first of all, I called you about 3 months ago. I had an Oxycontin problem,
mm-hmm.
and I had the alcoholic gene and all.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to tell you guys now I'm sober and all.
Great.
Good.
Yeah, not drinking, not doing too many drugs.
Great.
A little pot every once in a while, but that's it.
Yeah, that will send you back.
Well, like once every 3 weeks.
Eric, that will send you back. Anything that triggers that part of your brain will pick up the momentum and off you'll go.
Okay.
So you're just, the clock is ticking at this point.
All right. Really quick, this isn't my main question, but did you mention a while ago about an antidepressant for people that are like alcoholics? Is that... started with an S, Sarazone.
Yeah, I've had a lot of good results with Sarazone lately.
Okay. You have?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, but my question was, there's this girl, my best friend, really, and I'm really into her, and I've been into her for years, and she's known it, and so finally she's coming around, and she wants to go out with me, but I guess now I'm having my doubts and all, and I don't know, because if it's just a quick relationship, you know, it's not a big deal, then it's going to ruin our friendship forever.
You and your your friend?
Yeah.
I see.
Wait a minute. You've been into her for a while, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's why you're her friend.
Yeah.
Because you're into her.
All right. Well,
now,
be honest.
You have your opportunity that you've been waiting for has finally come to fruition, and you're wussing out?
Yeah. Well, over the time that I've been waiting for her, I guess I just, you know, if she just helps me with all my stuff, you know, every time I'm having a problem. And she doesn't want a long-term relationship. She just wants, you know, a couple months or so, and then that's it.
That's
and weird. I'm afraid that, you know, like,
what
after
is she
that,
talking about?
What's her deal? Does she have a dad abandoning?
Yeah, she's kind of screwed up.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
What she's telling you is she's afraid of the intimacy that's going to develop here, and she wants to be in control of it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, look, you can't set a timeline on your relationships. You have to start them and see where they go.
Right.
And they usually go for about 6 years longer than they should, but you can't just say, well, this can be over in 3.5 months.
Yeah.
Look, Eric, don't be scared. Don't go through life this way.
Okay.
She likes you. You like her. You have a relationship. You see where it goes. Maybe it lasts for a week. Maybe it lasts forever.
All right.
And you know, don't worry about the friendship part.
Yeah. You got into this friendship with this in mind.
Right. All right. I gotta oil this chair.
Yeah.
What the? Yeah, somebody wants to know about a coffee enema.
Mm.
I would like to know about a coffee enema, too. Valerie?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, Adam.
Hey, Toots.
How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Nothing. I was just wondering. I read a book, and it was written by, I don't know.
Turn your radio down, goofball.
Will you turn that down for me?
All right.
Anyways, I read a book about it, and Vanna White and Janet Jackson and a bunch of people are into it. And I just always wonder...
Into coffee enemas?
Yeah.
Right.
And so I was wondering, what does it really do to you physically?
Turn the radio down.
Turn it down more, please.
Just tell them to turn it off. Oh. Or you go somewhere where you don't have to hear it if they want to
enjoy
it. Oh, Jesus
Christ. Here I am.
All right, baby. All right, so what physically happens when you get the coffee enema?
Right.
I don't know. And, you know, I didn't...
Not a heck of a lot.
I did a coffee enema once, and...
You did?
Yeah,
no, I figured you did.
Yeah, I did. I tried it once. I had no trouble with it at all. It actually felt good. They rammed the sugar cubes up my ass.
That was the
pain. Yeah. That hurt like hell. Like hell.
How about that steamed milk?
Shouldn't have never told him 5 lumps. That was the trouble.
A whole lot of lumps.
I dig a whole lot of lumps. Is that Pete Puma? All right.
So it doesn't do anything?
Listen, first off, anyone who engages in the enema thing, here's what it is. Gays and nutty broads.
Uh-huh.
Actually, gays are really just nutty broads with penises. Mm. But, yes, the Vanna White and the one of the Jacksons,
JJ.
Any of the Jacksons, nuts. They're all nuts. Here's what all this stuff is. It's all emotional. It's all in your head. All of it is. They do all this stuff. It's the same thing. Hey, do you sometimes, you ever feel like when you get up in the morning, you just don't want to get out of bed?
You're kind of fatigued and achy.
You're tired.
Tired, yeah.
The alarm rings. The alarm rings, but you hit the snooze because you don't want to get out of bed. You're tired. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it happens. And then sometimes you're at work. It's like 3-4 in the afternoon. You just want to take a nap. You don't have the energy.
Can't take another step.
Well, let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because we live in a very toxic environment. Mm-hmm. There's toxins everywhere. Everything is toxic these days. What's coming out of the cars is toxic. The water's toxic. The air is toxic. The food, those preservatives, they build up in your body. They cause plaque. And so what you're doing is you carry around that plaque, and you're essentially carrying around toxins. And that's why you feel so tired and lethargic. You feel tired and lethargic, right? I mean, didn't you have more energy when you were younger? Yes, because you had less toxins in you. And so what you need to do is you need to flush away those toxins every once in a while, which build up in you. And that's what makes you tired, you see?
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, these people are high.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's totally nuts.
Okay, I had one more question, too.
But you get the plaque built up.
Yeah. And my question is, why is it then when we completely flush out the colons for colonoscopies, I mean, we make it squeaky clean so you can examine the surface microscopically, people do not feel better.
No, they feel worse.
Magically.
That's right.
And by the way, the colon was designed for what it does.
Uh-huh.
That's the way God built it.
Listen, nothing gays and screwed up rods.
And I want to know, I want somebody to name a toxin. Show me the chemical structure of a toxin
that's
in my system.
You don't need, they're all over.
Yeah.
They're all over and they build up inside of you. All right, Valerie.
Okay, can I ask one more question?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, this is on the other side of the taint. I mean, I have a boyfriend now that's extremely large.
Ooh.
And on my monthly visit, yeah, I get crampy way more than what I've ever gotten.
When your friend visits every month?
Well.
Well.
You know that monthly girl thing?
Yeah. Right.
The same girl has to have a coffee.
You have your
coffee enema,
yeah,
right?
And it's like now I get these extreme piercing pains when it comes.
Right.
I never used to get that.
I doubt it's about him. You could have endometriosis. You could have ovarian cysts. You could just be having something called dysmenorrhea. I think it's just, you need to talk to your gynecologist about it, but I doubt that it's about him. It could be an infection.
Yeah, it's not like he wore her out,
yeah,
or he pummeled her with his penis during the course of the month and now she has extra cramping. No, that wouldn't happen.
This is all that mechanical thinking about the body. If somebody
right,
had no biological training, thinks only in terms of the mechanics. The colon needs to be flushed out. The vagina is broken. It bleeds.
Okay, Ellis, if he damaged you with his penis, you'd know it at the time he was doing the damage,
yeah,
or seconds after. All right, we'll take a break.
Love Line.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Well, I like that cult. Those guys were nice when they were in here. I had a good time with them. Well, I like that cult guitar. Dan?
Yep.
You're 17?
I am.
What's up?
Well, I'm kind of an artist. I paint and draw and do collages, all that cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got diagnosed with ADD and depression and just crappy stuff like that.
Right.
So they put me on Prozac for a while, and then that was before I found out I have ADD. And then they found out I have ADD. They put me on Wellbutrin for the depression and the ADD. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much ever since I've been doing that, I've just had, like, no creativity in my artwork and all that. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if that could be from that and...
No creativity. What does that mean?
I mean, like, I used to be able to sit down with a paintbrush and some paint and, like, do whatever and just paint some cool stuff, but now, like, nothing comes into my head.
Huh. That's fascinating.
So, yeah. I wonder if you've heard of that and if...
And that,
like,
and that didn't happen with the Prozac?
No, it didn't.
And you're feeling better?
Yeah, I guess so.
You're feeling better with Wellbutrin than with the Prozac?
I don't really see a difference, but...
Well, maybe then you ought to switch back to the Prozac or at least that class of drugs.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If you really, truly have some block in terms of your ability to do what you do, which, I you know, it's a neurologic process, being an artist. I guess it makes sense that it could be affected by these medications. I've never heard of this. Usually it's just the case people feel better and they're actually more productive.
What do you draw?
Lots of stuff, actually. I do abstract. I do... Landscapes.
Hold on, I'm writing it down. Lots of stuff.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Landscapes, abstract.
I can do whatever. I mean, I do whatever comes into my head.
Good. Hey, listen, I don't want to. I don't know much about art. I don't want to be a square, but I like it to look like something.
Yeah.
I like to go, hey, that's what that is. Because when I see art that I go, I could have done that, I don't like it.
Oh, me too.
All right, good. Hi there, buddy. And what did Drew tell him to do? What did you tell him to do, Drew? So,
since he's not feeling better with Wellbutrin than with the Prozac, maybe get back to a medication like Prozac or Prozac,
mm-hmm,
that didn't block his creativity that way.
All right, good times. Good times. Aaron?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
my girlfriend, I've been dating her for like a couple weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And before, like, you know, we talked about sex and stuff, and I said that I wanted to wait this time until I was in love.
This time?
Yeah, like, I don't know, all through high school,
mm-hmm.
All my relationships have just been based on, like, sex, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my longest relationship has only been, like, 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Me, too. That was high school. Yeah, the relationship was with my left hand in the VCR. Actually, we didn't have a VCR, son of a bitch.
You had? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. As soon as they became popular, my dad ran right out to Radio Shack, got himself a nice Beta recorder, that retard. Oh, see, an idiot. All right, so you don't want this one to just be about sex.
Right, and she agreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not working out like that. You know, we're, like, doing stuff, and I had to stop. You know, I had to stop myself and, like, say, you know, go sit over there. You know what I mean?
Sure, I've done that many times.
Right, and I'm trying to, like, tell her. Like, you know, again, that I want to, like, wait a little while. She agreed, you know. I brought it up again.
Yeah.
And she agreed that, yeah, she wanted to wait, but,
No, she's just agreeing with you.
She's going along.
Yeah,
she just wants to stay in the relationship.
It must be hard for a woman to go, no. You know, I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
Gotta have you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's understandable. That's kind of what I was getting. And I wanted to know a way I can nicely, you know.
I'm very confused why women can't be terribly honest about what they want and what they're feeling this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
21.
But listen, interesting. But I was in Washington last week. I gave a presentation to a bunch of, you know, college age kids. And this one girl, I started asking why the hell they read those crappy magazines, those women magazines.
Mm-hmm.
This one girl stood up. She goes, you know, I wondered the same thing. So I asked everyone in my dorm, all the women. And you know what they all said? If they said anything, I read the articles because they're funny, in Mademoiselle and in Cosmo.
Funny. So what did you gather from that?
Well, first of all, I said, Mad Magazine's funny. Why don't you read that?
Right.
There's nothing funny about those articles. I gathered is they can't even be honest about what... It's like guys reading the Playboy for the pictures.
Right. You mean they can't say, look, we're desperate to look for tricks to attract men.
Or whatever it is. Or we're confused and we're ambivalent and this gratifies us some way. And the articles are ridiculous and funny. So
Right. So, yeah, it's like good examples. What you said about the Playboy and guys
right.
reading it for the articles.
Right.
Okay, or buying it for the articles, I should say. I don't know what Aaron's thing is. Whatever it is.
How does she keep her off him? If you're not really into her, tell her that. That will keep her off. If you don't want to have sex because you don't know that you really like her, that she'll recoil. Don't worry.
Yeah, I don't get Aaron's thing. I'm getting that Aaron ain't really that into her.
Mm-hmm.
Because an 18-year-old guy has been laid a few times. If he's got himself a hot piece of ass crawling all over him, he's gonna jump on that.
In a cave, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Derek, who's 17. Derek?
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
I love the show. Just got to tell you that up front.
Thanks.
And, I've been listening to your show for a while, mm-hmm. and I hear all these young guys calling in. I'm 17, and they're younger than me, and they're talking about how they're having sex with their girlfriends and stuff. And I'm 17, and I've had a few relationships, and I've still never had sex. Is there something wrong?
No.
No?
No. That's a good thing.
Oh, okay.
That's why you wouldn't normally, other than calling about other people's problems, you wouldn't have to call this show.
Okay.
Well, Drew makes a valid point. You only call to complain about other people.
Okay.
I mean, you're fine.
Okay.
I mean, look, it's not great. I mean, you know.
Yeah, what's prompting you to wonder if there's something wrong with you is Adam's complaining about his days in high school and well, what would have been college.
I didn't get an ounce of tail in high school. Do you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah,
not even a lid.
Oh,
even
sucks.
3/4 of an ounce of tail.
That's
you're fine there, Derek.
All right, then. Thank you.
Yeah.
Count your blessings.
All right, thank you.
Count your blessings, yeah. Yeah, God forbid you should get a BJ in high school. Count your blessings. I know, Drew, you were getting laid quite consistently in high school, student body president, big man on campus, captain of the football team and all that stuff, but... Do you think, now we've talked about this before. I was not getting much action until I was a little later in life. I mean, I lost my virginity and had a couple of run-ins with a few confused women, but nothing substantial. And I'm wondering if you may have primed your pump for the for the 19 through 23 by getting some in high school. Do you think?
Primed your pump?
Yeah, you.
I mean, like, sent myself spinning off in some direction?
Well, what I mean is, I mean, you're passionate, passionate.
So I was...
Passionate, man. I mean, we know that about you. What I'm saying is when I was, like, 18 or 19, I was just getting started.
Right.
I was, you know, and then I may have hit my stride about 24, 25. I mean, that's when I was probably operating on all cylinders sexually. But you, who was a passionate, passionate man and had a relationship in high school, you think you were ahead of me at 19. You know what I'm saying?
But then I stalled.
Oh, you stalled?
Oh, yeah.
When did you stall?
19.
Oh, because you went out of town to go to college. You left your girlfriend behind. Yeah. And that's really where the tragedy came. And now all women must pay, including your mother, right? Oh, it's so true. Natalie?
Uh-huh.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's happening, Perky Buns?
All right. I'm almost 17. I have a boyfriend who he'll be 18 soon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like my first real boyfriend. I'm his first real girlfriend. He's a good guy and everything, got good grades and everything, good life going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been together for about a month or almost 2 months now, and he hasn't even done anything. He won't kiss me or anything.
Two months. How do you know he's your boyfriend?
Well, because he always talks about it, and I mean, we're always together. I wasn't sure. It's not like he ever said, oh, will you be my girlfriend or anything stupid, but he just always said, because he lives like 2 hours from me, which is kind of weird, yeah. But he drives down to see me like every couple days, and he's always over here, and he's always saying, hey, you know, that's why I got this car, so I have good gas mileage to come see my girl, you know. But I mean, he's a real nice guy, and he's a really great guy, but I don't know. I don't want to seem like a slut or anything, and I don't want to pounce on him, but what can I do to make him realize that, you know, I am 16, I am a girl, and I am human, and I do have hormones, you know?
Who's that, your brother?
Yeah, it's my brother.
He thinks you're an idiot?
Huh?
He said you're an idiot?
Well, he just someone here's sister talking about sex.
Yeah, that's my 11 brothers.
How, is he older or younger, your brother?
They're both older.
Oh, boy. All right, are they listening?
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Oh, geez, I'd vomit if I heard my sister call a radio show. I need to get laid.
No, it's not that.
I know. You've never even kissed this guy.
Right. Well,
I think the guy will not think you are a slut if you move things along physically. He may be just inept.
He's a virgin, right?
Yeah, definitely. He's never had a girlfriend.
No. He's never had anything.
Well, yeah, right.
He's scared,
and I feel like I'm intimidating him.
I mean,
No, you're not. Forget that. Get those kinds of ideas out of your head.
Well, wait a minute. She's intimidating him by virtue of the fact she was born.
Right, the way he feels about her, that intimidates him.
I mean, just the fact that she's a female in present in his life.
Right.
But he is probably never kissed a girl.
He needs to be broken in.
You got to bust his hymen.
Right.
You think he's kissed a girl?
I don't know. I don't think he has. I don't know.
I mean, he's never told you about any girl he went to the dance with or anything, has he?
No.
Hey, he's a geek, this kid.
Well, you know what, though? I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me one way or another because I like him, so I don't really care what everybody else thinks about him.
Right, but he is a geek, right? But I mean, that's what they think. Yeah, they do.
But
yeah,
that's what other people say,
that's what he's known for.
The football team and the baseball team.
I was on the football team and baseball team, too.
Yeah, you were cool, though.
No.
I don't know, and it doesn't really matter to me one way or another.
Okay.
All that matters is I like him, so.
All right. That's good. Wait a second.
I don't know. On
the varsity football team?
Yeah.
Really?
What position?
Oh, God, I don't know. I think he's a linebacker.
All right, baby. All right, look, you're going to have to instigate this. You're going to have to give him a nice kiss.
There's no way he will think anything negative about you. Forget it. Well, get that out of your head.
You got to give him a smooch. Are you a virgin?
Yeah, definitely. He's my first real boyfriend.
All right. This is perfect. He's just a little freaked out. He's low on experience, and as a guy, it becomes very easy to cruise, especially when you're scared to make a move. You know what I mean?
It's also like when you don't have that vocabulary, that experience under your belt, even the basic little bit of experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's like not having the skill. It's like never having, you know, driven a car or something, reading about it, and then, okay, now I'm going to drive the car.
Right.
If nobody puts you in the seat and sits down next to you and goes, let's go.
Right.
Push the pedal here, go.
Right. That's why my dad, God love him, he When I was 15, he took a melon. It wasn't a honeydew. It was a cassava.
Put it in the microwave?
He warmed it up. He put it in the microwave. He cut a hole in it. It was too big, but it wasn't that big. He just traced around a quarter. And then he took some lipstick out of my stepmom Lynn's makeup bag. He drew lips around it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, start at first base and then just go all the way through. Just go all the way through, I remember he said.
And when your stepmom found that melon, that was when you moved into the garage.
Right.
Right then.
But to be fair to me, he didn't say, don't put it back in the refrigerator. I didn't know. I did not know. It's all right. You got to clean the seeds out anyway over the sink. It wasn't like anyone got sick.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was a little surprise.
It was a coconut.
She recognized her shade on the melon. That's all. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Katie, who's never had an orgasm, doesn't masturbate. We'll get to her after this.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Ready to get back to the phones, Drew?
Yeah, all set.
All right, buddy. Here we go. Home stretch. Katie?
Yeah, it's me.
You're 21?
I'm 21.
You've never had an orgasm?
No.
And you don't like to masturbate?
No, it feels gross.
Feels gross?
Yeah.
Next
week. Yeah. Right now, it's 56. I don't, like, feel right when it happens.
Is that cross?
56 in Santa Rosa and 59 in Oakland.
What?
Yeah, it's cool out there. What are we listening to?
It's my phone. It's kind of weird.
Oh, KCBS.
Well, at least it's a CBS station. That's good.
It's not often you get to be on the radio and listen to the radio.
You know
and
what I'm saying?
Hold on. I want to just hear some of the radio program.
Hold on one second,
Let's
Katie.
Just be quiet for a second. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? We're the only ones who can hear the radio show? Anderson, why are we the only ones who can hear the radio show?
The levels are really low.
Ah, okay.
Not everyone's wearing headphones.
Uh-huh. Headphones?
Cans.
Cans, my friend. I didn't get in this business. I'm called headphones. Hey, Katie?
Yeah.
Okay, you got to get yourself a new phone, right?
Yeah, but I had my cordless, but they left it off the hook too long.
I see.
It was going to die, and I want to talk to you guys before I...
All right. What's wrong with masturbation?
It just doesn't feel right.
It just doesn't do anything for you?
Uh-uh, it doesn't do nothing.
Have you been with a guy?
Yeah.
And what happened? You've had sexual intercourse?
Yeah.
And nothing happens there either?
Well, like, I get up to, like, almost, and then I just, like, the feeling leaves me.
What about oral sex?
Yeah, but I've never had it.
That's the missing ingredient there.
No, it, like... Only one time, and, like, I didn't even orgasm. It just started feeling good, and then the feeling left again.
Only one time a guy's performed that on you?
No, only one time it's felt good.
I see.
Is there anything you want to tell us about your past that might be contributing to your inability to experience arousal?
Like, lots of things that happen and stuff like that probably have affected that, but...
Okay. Right, like maybe... Some sexual abuse or something?
I was molested when I was like 9, and then I was raped twice.
Right.
Okay.
So that can certainly affect your ability to trust. Some women have issues of feeling like they don't want to lose control in those intimate encounters, and I think it's more about that than anything. And of course, when you've been traumatized like that, any connection with that part of your body can sometimes feel uncomfortable or arouse feelings of that were unpleasant.
Okay. It's all about the rapes, and it's all about the molestation, and that's what you need to focus
that's
on.
That's what needs to be treated.
A little therapy, clear that up, you'll be fine. Dave?
Yes?
You're 20, you're going bald?
Yeah, so I'm having the receding hairline.
Right, you're on Propecia?
Yeah.
And,
Rogaine, he said it wouldn't hurt, my doctor.
It's not doing anything.
What do you mean it wouldn't hurt?
Like you said, you can also use it along with the Propecia. It wouldn't interfere with...
The Rogaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, has it worked?
Well, I mean, I still, like, when I brush my hair and stuff, because I have, like, longer hair now than I used to, I can actually, like, you know, pull a bunch of hair out of the comb and stuff. I've been able to do that, like, you know, for...
True.
For
a while.
All right. So is this, you know, I've talked to a few guys on Propecia. They say, look, they can't really tell.
Well, you can't. It's theoretically just slowing down whatever God's doing.
Does it stop it, or is it just
sometimes,
slow it down?
Sometimes stops it. And Rogaine can reverse it and cause hair growth sometimes, maybe 10-20% of the time.
They really don't have anything. I mean, here's how far we've got with this stuff.
There's no, like, Three Stooges or Bugs Bunny hair tonic.
Where you rub it on and your palms get hairy?
Exactly.
No, we have ways to slow it down if you catch it early enough. Yeah. And then we have surgical techniques that can replace it later on in life.
Right.
If you want to spend a lot of money.
That's right.
But there's really nothing to do to grow it back. They claim Rogaine.
Occasionally Rogaine. I had one case. I swear to God, I had one incredible case.
Right.
Where a guy came in, was seriously balding the horseshoe. He came back 3 months later, looked like Harpo Marx.
Really?
Yeah, it was startling.
Grew back.
Yeah.
Okay, but the Propecia. Any side effects of Propecia?
Theoretically, no, but it's a testosterone blocking agent, so...
Slow your sex drive down a little, raise your voice a couple octaves.
Just the sex drive issue is questionable.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. Love Line fans, this is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stick around for more right here on 100.5 The Zone.
It's over 100 degrees in the shade. You go out of your way to walk through sprinklers. You spend an obscene amount of time waiting for that parking spot just under the tree. And outdoor activities take place before the roosters get up. It must be summer in Sacramento. You know, triple digits are Mother Nature's way of saying, get out of town. Fortunately, you're real close to a cool blue summer oasis, Lake Tahoe. Take a short drive over the hill and enjoy 10,000-foot peak sandy beaches, 24-hour casinos, and incredible recreation. Lake Tahoe accommodations range from economical motels to luxury resorts, and summer temperatures hover around a perfect 80 degrees. For great deals on lodging and packages, call 1-800-AT-TAHOE or log on to virtualtahoe.com. With a cool, affordable summer getaway so close, I can't imagine why you're still sitting there. Unless, of course, you're stuck to the sea.
I'm just a man, just a guy, and a dude, and I'm hungry. And I'm moving real fast because I'm going first class for steak at Taco Bell. Jonesing for a grill steak. Taco steak's the king of meats. So I run and I walk because I can't find my horse to ride. Gonna shimmy, gonna shake for marinated steak. I found the Taco Bell.
Step up to the sizzling taste of steak. The tender marinated steak and give me some grilled goodness. You'll only find wrapped up in a grilled steak taco. Only at the Bell. Giddy up there, taste buds.
Grilled steak taco from Taco Bell.
At participating locations.
The night is wide open, like Taco Bell. Open late with all the irresistible crunch and spice that the night demands. Satisfy your appetite for night. Taco Bell, spice up the night. Taco Bell open till midnight or later. Hours may vary at participating locations.
The accident wasn't my fault. Why should I have to go through the hassle of dealing with my insurance company? Why should I have to pay out of my pocket for a car rental? Shouldn't the other person's insurance pay for my damages and car rental?
If you have been in an auto accident that wasn't your fault, call the Elite Performance Accident Agents at 482-1863. With absolutely no cost to you, the accident agents will assist you with starting your accident claim through the other person's insurance company. They arrange your car rental, towing, and they can help you get your car repaired with factory parts and procedures. Without any money out of your pocket, call 482-1863. Elite Performance is now servicing Fairfield, Yuba City, Auburn, Shingle Springs, and Stockton. Call 482-1863 for more details.
It was so easy. I called Elite Performance, gave them a claim number. They picked up my car at my convenience, delivered a car rental, and handled dealing with the other person's insurance company for me. Now my car looks great, and it didn't cost me a dime. If you've ever been involved in an accident, and it wasn't your fault, I recommend you call Elite Performance like I did.
Lose 20 pounds in 3 weeks. And
gonna happen. Get all new furniture in 3 weeks? Count on it.
It's a fact. At Brunner's, you'll find loads of gorgeous furniture that can be delivered through our quick ship program in only 21 days or less.
Now that's what I call losing the weight.
And that's not all. Brunner's famous summer sale has now been extended for a few more days. Everything's on sale at the lowest prices of the season. Plus, make no monthly payments and pay no interest till July 2002 when you use or apply for a Brunner's credit card or take an extra discount for cash. But time is running out to take advantage of this special offer. So hurry.
There's nothing like a really good sale to improve one's self-image.
That's the beauty of Brunner's.
The summer sale at Brunner's has been extended, but only until Monday. This is absolutely your last chance to get the lowest prices of the season. So don't miss it.
Welcome to Miller Genuine Drafts Blind Tracks. Unreleased songs by undisclosed artists. Mystery band, the stage is yours. Genuine Draft Blind Tracks. Like what you heard? Then log on to www.mgd.com. Enter Blind Tracks and hit track number 7. You'll get the whole song and find out who's responsible. Miller Genuine Draft. Never miss a genuine opportunity. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Welcome back to Loveline with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla on 100.5 The Zone.
Love your station. I totally got hooked and I don't listen to anything else.
Buddy, well, there you go. Another fabulous episode of Loveline, deep, deep in the ground where no one can find it ever again. I want to thank Damien for doing a great job on the phones all week. I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, for doing a great job on the phones all week.
Although she wasn't here. She wasn't for bringing here the fruit in the night she left.
Well, when I say all week, I mean...
This week.
I mean last week. Is she here? Where is Tara?
She went to Europe.
Oh, really?
Right.
Bitch. She went to Europe?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's 30, what you were doing at
37. I've been to Tijuana 3 times. That's it. Mm-hmm. I want to thank producer Ann for putting her feminine stink on the show and doing a wonderful job all week. And not only this week, but in weeks past as well. Many, many, many of them.
Did you thank Damien?
I did thank Damien. And I want to thank engineer Anderson for putting his magic touch on the show each and every night. What a trooper. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
Oh, my God.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.